Hello, and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. I'm Andy. He's Dalton. But we promise there will be no serious discussion of Andy Dalton on this podcast. The NFL just saw the biggest trade that's happened in the league in, I don't know, days. There's a league-shifting trade every week lately, and we're going to talk about it. Tyreek Hill on his way to the Dolphins. Dalton Del Don, you're joining me immediately before a trip to Vegas, I want to say. How are things? How are you?
Doing well, Andy. It's been a while since we potted together. Yes, I'm flying out to Vegas tomorrow for a live event. Fantasy baseball is definitely at the forefront of my mind. But man, how could we ignore football? This is crazy. I try to not, you know, be recency biased, but this is the craziest offseason of all time in the NFL, without question. I mean, what is even number two? This is wild. So many that I'm forgetting how many. I mean, it's like, oh, Tom Brady also unretired. I mean, that's like eighth on the list at this point. So yeah wild times. So let's talk some football.
Tom Brady retiring is just like a different era. And then Tom Brady unretiring feels like it was, I don't know, a different season, right? Like, that's crazy, all the things that have happened. We filled everything on the bingo card basically this offseason. Maybe not a holdout. We almost had a Devontae holdout. We were probably headed for it before the trade. Anyway, it's been wild. Tyreek Hill on his way to the Dolphins. It felt like this all happened within like 60 minutes or so, right? But obviously, it didn't. There are many things that preceded it behind the scenes that we weren't watching. There's a whole drama that happened behind the curtain that none of us were privy to. But on Twitter, when news began to leak out, like, this thing happened in no time. Like, 45 minutes later, Tyreek Hill was traded. It's wild. Here's just the rough outline of the deal. Kansas City gets a 2022 first round pick in exchange. They get a 2022 second rounder, a 2022 fourth rounder, and then next year they get a fourth rounder and a sixth. Tyreek Hill himself gets a 4-year, $120 million deal with the Dolphins. This is a new position record. This is pretty wild. It sounds like, according to multiple reports, according to most of the reporting on this trade, it sounds as if Hill was making pretty good progress with the Chiefs on a new deal. And then the Adams contract happened, and that blew everything up. And there's this thing in sports where everybody wants to be the highest paid whatever, right? We're seeing it. You mentioned that you've got a baseball draft coming up. We just saw this with Carlos Correa, right? It was really important to him to have the highest average annual value of any shortstop or something like that. And apparently that was really important to Tyreek. So now we have Tyreek with the Dolphins. I want to start, though, with the Chiefs. First of all, what was your initial reaction to this when it happened? How did you hear about it? Were you following the entire drama on Twitter?
Yeah, I was very surprised, and I was going to say it exactly. His agent came out, Drew Rosenhaus, and basically confirmed as much. They were down the road for an extension with the Chiefs. It was going to be done, and then the Adams thing flipped it completely. And, he realized that they were going to want more money than Adams. Makes sense. He's younger. I mean, 28 years old. Instead of 30. And he got paid, and it was a huge deal. And the Chiefs came away loaded too, though. Draft picks. I mean, they're loaded there too. So I was very surprised to see it happen. And I think it's just now we need to readjust, and maybe this is the new normal of the NFL, and there might be more and more player movement like this.
Yeah, we'll probably get to this a little bit later, but just off the top of my head, other receivers who are not being paid north of $20 million a year, and like $20 million now doesn't even seem like, these contracts are over $25 million a year. Like, how much of a bargain right now is Cooper Kupp at whatever he's at, like 14 or 15 a year or something like that? How much of a bargain is Stephon Diggs? He's already making murky Twitter comments suggesting that perhaps it's time for a new deal. Like,
Debo is due for a huge contract.
Debo is
help
due.
That
DK Metcalf is due. Terry McLaurin's coming up. Like, all these guys are coming up, and all of a sudden they're $20 million receivers. It's wild. It's an entirely different landscape right now. You mentioned what the Chiefs received in this deal, and I don't want to, you know, I guess I consider Tyreek Hill basically an irreplaceable talent. He's kind of a one-of-one player in today's NFL, just a different level of speed entirely from anybody else. And he's not only one of the NFL's fastest men, he's probably the only super fast NFL player, like fast by NFL standards sort of player, track speed sort of NFL player, who was also just damn good at football, right? Like, he's a master of his profession, and he's one of the fastest men in the league. It makes him entirely unfair. Certainly, it would have been better for the Chiefs long term to just simply have Tyreek Hill. However, the haul they got is not It's not bad. It's not bad at all. They currently sit with a dozen picks in the upcoming draft. No team has more. They have 2 picks in the first round, 2 picks in the second round, 2 picks in the third, 2 picks in the fourth, right? So they're gonna own the first couple days of the draft. That's kind of exciting. Little reminder, this is in our show outline here, our podcast outline. Thanks to producer John who dropped this in. A little reminder that Kansas City actually did choose Clyde Edwards-Helaire over T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, DeAndre Swift, and Jonathan Taylor just a handful of years ago. That's wild. What else have they done this offseason? They've signed Juju Smith-Schuster to a one-year deal. He is a player who is entirely unlike Tyreek Hill. They were reportedly investigating a Laviska Shenault deal. Also reportedly checked in with Seattle on their receivers, on Metcalf, on Lockett. But just moments before we began recording this podcast on Thursday, they did in fact sign Marquez Valdes-Scantling for 3 years, $30 million. He's fast. He's not Tyreek fast, and he's not quick and jittery in the way that Tyreek is, and he's not the every level receiver that Tyreek is. I don't mean to compare them. He's just another fast dude. He's a guy who can take the lid off of defense. But you're actually a longtime MVS apologist, are you not?
Yes, I am. First, I'm just now remembering in the very last 34th round of a best ball draft, I took Josh Gordon in a league this offseason. And ooh, the fantasy value is a little bit more alive now. Okay, yeah, I've always been an MVS guy and he always disappoints, but there was really just tangible notice by the beat writers just saying how he's such a player all last year throughout practice, and even Aaron Rodgers confirmed it. I don't know how true that is and how he'll get paid in a whole new environment, but maybe the stats didn't reflect it properly, but he drew a few more deep pass interference penalties in the yardage may show. And he is improving as an actual football player. And, you know, now he has Patrick Mahomes throwing to him without Tyreek Hill and an aging Kelsey. So you got to move his fantasy value way up with this situation, because he was, even with, yes, Aaron Rodgers was throwing to him before, but he had a teammate in Adams who led the league in target rate. Obviously, Juju, I loved his fantasy prospects. Bumped him down a little bit with the MVS edition, but of course they were going to move someone there. But Juju is a guy I've been out on the last couple years, but here's someone who had 111 catches is like a 20-year-old, 21-year-old. He's still young. He's 25 years old. And now again with Mahomes and no Tyreek Hill and an aging Kelsey. So yeah, those guys, Juju and MVS are the two that are just skyrocketing up my fantasy draft boards.
Do you buy the idea that Juju is a little bit miscast as a number one receiver, but he's fine as a supporting receiver? Is that... That's probably an oversimplification.
Yeah, yeah. And if Mahomes faced by far the most cover twos, which I think you're going to talk about in this timeline later, then that makes sense to have the slot guy underneath, and Juju will just soak up all those underneath stuff. So, I mean, he doesn't even have to be a great real life receiver to just absolutely eat. Eating targets from Mahomes is a really nice place to be.
This is totally unfair, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to throw out some names of receivers, and you just tell me if you've got Juju a little bit ahead of him or a little bit behind him. Okay.
Okay.
Deontay Johnson.
Oh, it is a great one. As of now, that's a great call. I have Deontay Johnson slightly ahead, but I would say they're the same tier now. They're very comparable players. I like that call. That's interesting. What about you on that one? That's a great first one.
I'm looking at my own ranks right now. So I'm looking at guys that I have in the immediate neighborhood. And I've got Juju just a little bit ahead, like 2 spots ahead.
I always go for the upside of the unknown new place. I probably would. Yeah, I mean, who knows your guy Trubisky throwing him. But
that's
both
the thing.
Like, yeah,
I dread what Deontay is facing with
I wouldn't
Mitch.
Push you back against Juju over him at all. I mean, they're both underneath guys, maybe limited upside with touchdowns, but we'll rack up the catches and targets.
How about Jaylen Waddle? We'll get to the Dolphins later, but how about Jaylen Waddle versus
another
Juju?
Very similar. Again, same tier. I still have Waddle ahead of both actually now, but obviously it certainly hurt his value. I know some have said it hasn't, but unless you think Tua can produce 2 top 10 fantasy receivers, it certainly hurt Waddle's fantasy value. So I have Waddle ahead of him still, but again, very close.
How about Juju versus the Denver receivers?
I have Juju ahead of both, I have Judy a couple spots ahead and Sutton a couple spots below, but I could be talked either way. These are all very good
that's
comps.
That's really interesting. I have them flipped. I have Sutton just ahead, and I've basically got Juju sandwiched in the middle between Judy and Sutton.
And I can see it. I've seen other people believe that too, and I know Sutton has been so impressive when on the field, but Judy, if he can actually stay healthy, he was the little bit of a better prospect. We'll see. These are great calls, man. And they're so different situations too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all new environments, you know, so it's really, really interesting.
Last one I'll give you. Pittman, okay. Michael Pittman or Juju?
Okay, so I'm really in on Pittman. I moved him top 15. Yeah. I think Ryan's going to be good enough, and I think he's all by himself there in indoors. So I'm in. He's the way I can confidently say I'm in on Pittman.
Yeah, I've got Pittman a few spots ahead as well. It doesn't sound like we differ too much in these ranks. That's kind of wild. I feel like we should differ a lot.
We will later.
In March ranks.
I've seen your quarterback ranks. Believe me, we differ.
Okay, good, good. That's a good tease. Really good tease. I guess my next question about the Chiefs is they can't be done, right? Like nobody just signs Valdes-Scantling and says, okay, that's it. We've wrapped up the receiver position. That thing is, yeah. That
I
thing
mean,
is
Mecole Hardman, MVS and Josh Gordon, what could go wrong? I mean, I kind of like that. A lot of upside actually there. And then in a unclear running back position that they may add Ronald Jones. You know, if they did.
Oh yeah, that was the buzz today too. It didn't break so exactly funny. right before we jumped on, but a lot of talk about Ronald Jones there. I kind of like that. I certainly think that CEH is better as part of a committee. That is a sort of backhanded way of saying.
Yeah,
that
I'll
they
take the
need
L on CEH.
Him.
Yeah, I'll take the L on him. I'm not going to be drafting him anymore. It would take just a massive discount because he's just not special enough player at all to separate himself. I mean, he lost all third down work to Daryl Williams last year. I mean, yeah, no, especially if they're bringing in Ronald Jones. No, it's not a good sign. No.
Yeah, you're not on a good career trajectory when Daryl Williams takes over a big
and he
part
was
of
so good
job.
A receiver at LSU. It's just bizarre. I don't really quite get it, but this didn't translate into the pros or for whatever reason. And Mahomes doesn't throw to his backs that much either, but right. Yeah, and even is it McKinnon lurking there? I heard he went to Mahomes's bachelor party, so he may not be officially not signed there, but do not be surprised. I mean, they relied on him the most in the playoffs, so McKinnon could even end up easily back there as well.
I assume you were at the same bachelor party you traveled.
Yeah, that's how I knew. Yeah, yeah. Breaking news here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. me and Jackson Mahomes. Right, everyone loves his brother. I don't do TikTok, but I hear he's a lightning bolt of controversy.
Wow, the one social media platform that you're not all over. That's
oh yeah, to me. yeah. You know, both of us for sure. We're all over that stuff.
Let's talk about the Chiefs in the, not that I expect, you know, maybe it's a little bit premature to start talking Chiefs draft exactly, but I mean, 12 picks, they're going to kind of dominate the first couple days of the draft. They pick 29 and 30 at the end of the first round, and then they come back with a bunch of picks on the second day. We're assuming that they still, like, they're not done at receiver, right? And they take some sort of developmental player, if not in the first round, then maybe a couple of shots on the second day.
Absolutely expect them to add a receiver for sure. We just talked about how volatile those options were. And I mean, Juju's not your ideal number one. But yeah, I will just say regarding those picks, I'm not ready to bury this Chiefs. It'll probably be a popular narrative. Now they're suddenly the worst team in that division because it's so loaded. But I'd be more surprised if they finished third than I would, you know, first or second again. I still think, yeah, they'll be loaded, the best coach and QB combo. So they'll still be plenty competitive, believe me.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty fair point, right? It's not like, you know, it's not like Patrick Mahomes was entirely a product of Tyreek Hill, and we shouldn't speak about it that way. I mean,
because it can both be true. I agree with you. He's a special player. He's awesome. He'll succeed everywhere. And he brings, you know, defenses have to pay attention over the top. Totally different. And he can also do the underneath stuff. He's a great player. But it's also possibly true that Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, and he'll be just perfectly fine without him. Also having, you know, arguably the best coach on his side too. It's a really nice combo.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen the Chiefs basically win one way with Tyreek Hill, but there's no reason to think that a quarterback of Mahomes' ability, his arm strength, his inventiveness, his ingenuity, there's no reason to think that we're not going to see them find another way to win, right? And them to have another take a different path to produce like a 4,800-yard, 5,000-yard season that certainly still seems in play. And again, this receiving core is unfinished. Just to wrap up something that you alluded to earlier, I did want to mention, and this is a stat from Sports Info Solutions via Doug Farrar, former Yahoo colleague, who wrote a bunch of great stuff. On Wednesday, shortly after the trade news broke on the Chiefs generally, on where they go from here, on the deal, and the stat was that Patrick Mahomes last year, like by a mile, not even close, had the most dropbacks against two deep coverage. Nobody within, like, I don't know, 80 snaps of him, something like that. So that is certainly a reflection of how Tyreek Hill, and only Tyreek Hill, shapes a defense around him, right? Like, you literally can't man him. You can't really play that, like, single high safety stuff that the Raiders try and they give up 300 yards to Hill, right? Like, you just can't do any of that. I just... as good as MVS is and, you know, as ascendant as he can possibly be, I don't think he's the guy that you know, sort of reshapes the field around him the way that Tyreek did.
Yeah, fair enough. And does this increase or decrease Travis Kelce's fantasy value in your mind? Personally, it's just about the same. More targets is never a bad thing, but, you know, obviously he's not going to benefit from all that underneath stuff. Just it was so wide open. I've still left him number one because I think Mark Andrews is going to be the popular number one fantasy tight end ranked, but it was just a perfect set of events in the second half for him. And I still think moving forward, Kelce is probably going to be my number one ranked despite his age. Thoughts?
Yeah, I've still got Kelce number one. It's interesting that you say that you think Mark Andrews, I suppose that would be a separate topic entirely, but interesting that you think Mark Andrews is just like, maybe people are just going to run it back and say that that's, you know, because that's the way it shook out last year. But obviously there are a million different reasons why Mark Andrews ended up as the number one tight end.
His ECR is number two and Kelce's one. So I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I've got Kelce number one. I don't think he's necessarily a tier of his own player anymore. Maybe after the Hill deal, he's definitely aging out of his best years. No question about that. I think it's interesting when we talk about like his target share. I'm not sure how many more targets you can shoehorn to right, Travis right. Kelce, right? Like, right, I mean, he's already in line for like 145.
But all those
cheapies
at the goal line. I mean, Tyreek Hill would even get a handful of the cheap hitman. He throws about 10 touchdowns that are just basically a glorified handoffs. And maybe a couple more of those goes to Kelce. But that is fair. How many more targets can he possibly get? Yes.
He also, it is, I think, safe to say that Tyreek benefited from Kelce, and Kelce certainly benefited from the no coverages doubt. That are forced on the Chiefs by Tyreek Hill's presence, right? So Tyreek Hill was the sort of player who makes life easier for everyone else on the field, Kelce included. Juju's not that guy. MVS isn't that guy. Certainly Mecole Hardman has not been that guy. He's basically the story of his career in my mind to this point is that there's like two or three plays a game where Patrick Mahomes clearly expects Mecole Hardman to be somewhere other than where he is. And until I see those go away, I can't really get fully behind Mecole Hardman. I also think, you know, I also think they're going to draft somebody who's going to be a really, really interesting developmental prospect and or somebody that they plug in right away who has a pretty significant role. So I'm not going to project some huge increase in targets or opportunities or touchdowns for Kelce. I mean, guy already scored like his 20 touchdowns over the last two seasons, and he's routinely seeing 140 targets. So it's really hard for me to imagine the ceiling being any higher than that.
Yeah, KC trusted Pringle before they did Hardman, by the way, so that last year. So that speaks volumes as well. So to sum it up, move up MVS, move up Smith-Schuster, but expect KC to also definitely bring in a rookie. And as for the answer, Kelce and tight end, the answer there is wait on Albert O this year.
Let me ask you before we leave the Chiefs, the smoldering ruins that are the Chiefs. What are you doing with Patrick Mahomes? Where did you adjust him in the ranks at all?
He's my number three. You have Lamar Jackson too low. The runners, Allen and Jackson are my clear top two. I just saw the amount of touchdowns Jackson's produced at his age, I think is like the most ever or something, but I'm counting on him to bounce back. And I love Allen is the clear number one. And then to me, it does become, I could see someone talking into Kyler Murray because of his rushing upside or Herbert, but I settled with Mahomes there three, but I love Allen and Jackson as far as my top two QBs.
That's a country singer,
Alan Jackson. But anyway,
I don't know my country singers. I couldn't pick them out of a lineup, but I'm going to trust you that Alan Jackson is a country
singer. I'm closer
singer
to that area than you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That has the ring of truth to it. Yeah, I buy it. I'm not committing to my current rank on Lamar Jackson. I'm looking at it right now as five, and I'm not committing to that because I love Lamar. I would like for something exciting to happen in that receiving core. It doesn't need to for Lamar to be great, obviously. I'll just read my quarterback ranks right now. They're Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. There is some irrational exuberance, perhaps, related to the off seasons that Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow have had. I actually feel like nobody's talked enough about the Cincinnati offseason because they've basically built a wall around Joe Burrow. They took all that cap money and they've enhanced their offensive line in a pretty massive way. They obviously needed it because Burrow was the most sacked quarterback in football last year. And it's just, he's just a huge winner in my mind. I don't know how much higher it can go, but I love his receivers. I love what they've done in free agency. It hasn't been like the splashy skill players or anything like that because they didn't need it. They've done exactly what they needed to do for that offense. So I'm super bullish on Burrow, but I might be willing to raise Jackson a little bit.
You know, more I think about this, Mahomes runs just tangibly more in the playoffs and he really protects himself more in the regular season. And I could be talked to why. I mean, yeah, Herbert or Burrow, I could easily be talked into over Mahomes with the loss of Tyreek Hill and the aging Kelsey and these other guys are getting new weapons and younger and who knows their ceiling. I mean, Burrow was returning from a late season torn ACL. Chase had not even played football in a while and couldn't catch a cold in the preseason. So it's interesting, those guys. I could see it, man. And even Burrow could run a little too sneakily. So I wouldn't actually not push back on those, other than Lamar Jackson is in a different class, in my opinion, his ceiling. I mean, unless you think that that's a start of you know, going to be a durability concern, I guess I could see it. But I just see the upside with him and Allen is in tiers of their own at this point.
No, I feel shamed a little bit because we've already seen that Lamar Jackson's ceiling.
I mean, Bateman is year two. Bateman looks like he's going to be really helpful, and Brown just quietly gets it done. And there's Sanders. I don't know. And they lost like five of their running backs last year. That became an actual detriment at one point. Right. And their left tackle, Ronnie Staley, was out, and he was playing injured to Lamar. Oh man, wheels up, Lamar. Buy in this year.
So last thing on the Chiefs, you do not, in fact, think that right at this moment they are the worst team in the AFC West?
I do not. I would definitely pick them over the Raiders. I have a lot of Raider fans. I'm rooting for you with the Adams, but definitely over the Raiders. Like I said, I'd be more surprised if they finished third than I would if they finished second or first. So I would bet on them finishing first or second. And if you want to take third or fourth, sure, I would do that.
I can't call a team with Patrick Mahomes the worst team in its division.
Or even the third. You wouldn't even take third. I'm giving you third, too.
That's a little dicey for me. They might be third. They're in a dogfight in that.
The Chargers absolutely loaded up. I mean, the Chargers loaded up. And I mean, I bet on the Broncos before they got for Wilson. I'm thinking maybe Rodgers. So I'm rooting for them. And I know that their Broncos are a real legit roster, too. So that'll be a fun division to follow.
Okay, let's switch to the Dolphins a bit. Such an interesting offseason. They're one of these teams where like everything is new. And sometimes this doesn't work out, right? Like oftentimes we'll get really excited for fantasy purposes about a roster where like they introduce a whole lot of new things in the offseason. New coach. We've got basically a new offensive line coming in. We got a new head coach. We got new skill players. It often takes some time, right? It wouldn't be shocking if things don't come together for Miami necessarily in September. But we'll just walk through with a few of the things that are new. First of all, in a 24-hour period, this franchise added both Tyreek Hill and Teron Armstead, left tackle, who was absolutely dominant and a gem in free agency. So that's a pretty good day. That's a pretty good 24-hour period. We have a new head coach here, Mike McDaniel. He comes to us from Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. They've added Cedric Wilson. They have two new running backs in Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert. They tagged Mike Gesicki, so he's back. These moves seem bad for Mike Gesicki, in my opinion, but we can discuss that. They go from being a team that had, you know, they had this huge stockpile of picks. Now they don't have a pick in the top 100 this year, but it's fine. They got Tyreek Hill. They have a totally reinvented offense, but we have to talk Tua. And before we get into like his tendencies, specifically quarterback ranks and all that, your knee jerk opinion on Tua Tagovailoa, is he good? Is he good by NFL standards?
So he's flashed at times, but I feel like I had low expectations when I've watched. So maybe that I was grading on a scale. I'm not a college guy, so I really was coming in with a clean slate. I mean, that hip injury was a legit injury. That was a 2-year injury. But then I guess he runs just a ton of RPO and he's limited. So it's going to be curious now with these weapons. But I'm kind of if I had to pick, I'd say I'm a Tua guy, and I think he's better than maybe gets credit for, and I'm in on a possible next level. But obviously they brought in Bridgewater there, just, and it even sounds like it might even be a competition possibly too. So that's interesting. His EPA per drop back, whatever, and he always covers the spread and all that stuff. So who knows? I'm not totally ruling him out as being a threat to the job. And Tua, very, very brittle too, always suffering injuries. So you tell me, you're more of a college guy. You've watched far more tape on Tua than I have. So I'm curious your opinion here.
It's interesting that you mentioned Teddy, because his comments at least suggest that Teddy thinks that he might be in the conversation to play some games this year, right? Like he definitely seemed to leave that open. He doesn't seem to consider himself just a straight backup. Yeah, I was a pretty big fan of Tua coming out of college, obviously based on everything that we saw from him pre-injury. And as you said, the hip injury, no small thing, right? That's time away from the team. That is a very difficult road to recovery. So like credit to him for getting himself back, but it was a significant injury. I thought that, you know, while he wasn't like some hyper-aggressive gunslinger type where everything was absolutely every throw was going downfield, but he took his shots, right? Like I thought he was just aggressive enough. And one of the things that we have seen from him in his pro career is that he'll push the ball downfield like twice a game. That's it. It has not exactly been electric. Now, we can't talk about his tendencies in the NFL without talking about his offensive line. It was exactly, terrible yeah. last year. Yeah. It was in terms of just it, you know, almost any site that you go to, almost any analytics will bear out the same thing. In terms of the way that PFF graded all the linemen were horrible. They were dead last in pass blocking efficiency at PFF. It wasn't good, right? So I'll grant you that. Still, these were his numbers last season in 13 games on passes that traveled at least 20 yards downfield. He was 14 for 29. He had 29 deep attempts, which that's sad. That's a sad number. It was one of the lowest totals in the league. He had one touchdown on those attempts. He had two interceptions, a passer rating of 77.2. Only 7.5% of his attempts traveled 20 yards downfield. These are just the facts. I don't think he's necessarily that guy by character and by intuition, but he was last year. It's not as if Tyreek Hill, and we mentioned this before, it's not as if Tyreek Hill is purely, you know, a DeSean Jackson type receiver where he's just one go route after another. And all he does is, in fact, he's as electric when he's running, you know, east and west as when he's running north and south, right? Like he's a problem at every level. He can run any route. He can do damage in almost any situation. So it's not as if he makes his living strictly as a deep threat. It just so happens that some of the most breathtaking plays that we've seen from Tyreek Hill in his career have been, you know, these ridiculous deep shots that the Chiefs were taking to him. So he can be much more than that. I'm not saying that Tua is strictly limited as a, you know, everything is a 3-yard, 5-yard pass short of the sticks. It's just not who he's been to this point. He has not been a particularly dynamic field stretcher. Now, you asked a question earlier that I think is super relevant here, and I'll just I don't know, I'll ask it right back at you. Can Tua Tagovailoa possibly support two every week fantasy starters at wide receiver? Like the way I've got them ranked right now, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle both comfortably wide receiver twos for me. Plus an every week tight end in Mike Gesicki, because I think that's where most people are going to have him ranked.
So yes to the wide receivers. I feel like Waddle, even if it's just an extension of their run game, especially in your favorite PPR formats, absolutely Waddle and Tyreek, I will have both top 20. But first of all, just with Tua, he put up massive numbers in college, and now he has some real legit weapons and maybe a possibly, you know, a new innovative young head coach here. So it's very interesting with a better offensive line to see what happens. And yeah, it's key. He needs to throw the ball downfield more. Gesicki's the guy that I really lowered in my ranks here. First of all, there was early concern that I had heard that just the fact that him probably lining up in the slot was not going to happen as much with the way McDaniel aligns his run game. He does not like the blocking to be lined that way. So that was already a red flag. And now with the additions here, I think Gesicki, I moved him outside of my top 15 receivers, and I had him comfortably in my top 10 before. So he's the biggest downgrade. It hurts Waddle because I loved him. I had him crazy high top 10 before. I still think there will be enough, like I said, extension of the run game. Waddle was so good as a rookie, and fun stat, next gen stats, I believe over the last 5 years, the top three highest speed on ball carriers in the NFL are Raheem Mostert, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle. So all three are on the Dolphins. So McDaniel should have some fun, man. He has a lot of speed to play with.
It is a very good point about Mike Kosicki. He's not a guy who lines up like in line very often, right? He's basically a glorified slot receiver. And those opportunities would seem to be few and far between under this head coach and with the personnel that they currently have. I would have thought 2 days ago that, McDaniel coming in, Mostert added, Chase Edmonds added, that this was going to be a team that really just wanted to run the ball 35 times a game, right? Are they like, you'd be crazy to for that to be your team identity with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle at receiver.
But to be clear, that was what McDaniel did. To be clear, he was the run guy. He would install the run game. Even Debo would go meet him every Tuesday morning to his run. And so, yeah, that is interesting. One would think that you would want to rely on those receivers and Mostert. I mean, I'm rooting for him, but you know, big injury proneness there. So yeah, we will see. We'll see what shakes out there. But I just want to say this because this is a yearly tradition. We were talking tight ends and why I have Gesicki so low. Because again, I can talk myself into a handful of these young guys. Tell me, Albert O, I already mentioned. Now Njoku by himself in Cleveland with Watson there. Hawkinson, if he's actually healthy. Knox really emerged last year. Irv Smith returning. Freiermuth really looked good. So, you know, a lot of those guys to me are now more intriguing than Gesicki is fourth in targets in Miami.
Yeah, I'm not quite where you are on Albert O just yet. But I do have Gesicki outside my top 12, right? We've got, I don't know, I'm looking at the names around him right now. It's Ertz, it's Goddard, Gronk hasn't re-signed, but he's gonna, Freiermuth.
Him too, if he resigns, I'd move him above Gesicki too, yeah. I have Albert O number 7 right now among tight ends, just so we're clear here. I'll put my name to it.
It's aggressive. Yeah. I've got Dalton Schultz 6th right now.
I have him fourth, and I might be crazy enough to rank him 1. Actually, with all the moves they've made, I like Dalton Schultz. I think I'm tempted to. Dak Prescott does not run anymore. They lost Cooper's gone. Jarwin's gone. Zeke is toast. Schultz puts up big. He was 4th last year, right? I mean, he was 4th fantasy tight end. So I would not be surprised if he finished 1st or 2nd this year.
That would just be a classic look at me hot take from Dalton Del Don.
Well, yeah, it's a great, an elite, great, great first name. So
now that you've thrown it out there, you'd be a coward not to have Dalton Schultz as your number 1 tight end.
Dude, I'm doing it right now. I'm moving him number 1. All right. Go to Fantasy Pros right now.
So scrap everything that we said about Travis Kelce earlier, Dalton Schultz.
That's right. Yeah, we have to go
tier of his own tight end number 1.
Hey, we are still in March.
We came to that realization through a discussion of Mike Gesicki and the Dolphins. Yeah. I absolutely love it. Let me get your take. I'm going to do the same thing I did with Juju, where I throw out some names that I currently have surrounding Tua in my quarterback ranks. And you just tell me if you've got him above these guys or below them. The first one is really a trick question. There's only one way you can answer that, and that is Trey Lance. Trey Lance or Tua? Go.
Well, I have Trey Lance way too high right now, but obviously if he's the starter, you're going to draft him higher than Tua because of his rushing upside. But there's a real chance that Jimmy G is returning there. But no, obviously Trey Lance, that was a crazy question. Come on now. I have Lance as a clear top 10 guy.
Tua or Derek Carr?
I have Tua 1 spot ahead of Derek Carr. Yeah, I love him indoors with Adams, but I would go Tua's upside at this point. A little bit more of an unknown, you know, at this stage of their career. So I have Tua 1 spot ahead.
I've got Carr immediately ahead of Tua. I think they're really close, and I can imagine flipping him. How about Jalen Hurts or Tua?
Oh, again, yeah, you have these rushing quarterbacks way too low. I have Hurts 8th. Hurts.
Well, Hurts is they haven't added anybody, but Hurts is a minor problem because you always have to question their commitment to the player.
The last 2 years he's ended playing dramatically hurt, and people have this memory of him. I think there's another level of him passing, but that also might just mean he'll continue to get hurt. So it's, you know, kind of both ways to that argument. But I think I'm going to like him more than the fantasy community.
How about Matt Ryan or Tua?
Ooh, I have Tua higher. Tua.
Last one I'll throw out: Trevor Lawrence or Tua.
Tua, I understand that the coaching is a lot to blame there, but at this stage, with all those weapons and Tua, Tua for sure. I mean, I can get going in blind faith and saying that Lawrence is gonna be much better, but that one's easy for me, Tua. Would you disagree there?
No, I've got Tua ahead of him. Ahead of him. I think the guy I'm gonna end up drafting more, however, is gonna be Trevor Lawrence. Because I think when we really get into draft season, like a bunch of us can say really bullish things about Trevor, but it's going to be hard. I mean, there's just every quarterback is healthy. There's a lot of good quarterbacks out there. A lot of them are in fun systems, and it's going to be really hard to rank Trevor Lawrence higher than like QB 19, QB 20, no matter how much you like him. But I bet I'm going to draft the heck out of him.
I have someone ranked ahead of Matt Ryan and Trevor Lawrence that you're going to like just give me such a heart. You're going to go crazy. But I tell me how off.
Tell me it's Justin Fields and I won't go crazy.
Oh, no, I definitely have Fields, of course. No, Marcus Mariota, indoors in Atlanta with Kyle Pitts. I know they don't have a receiver on board now, but I'm going to be playing from behind without a running game, and he runs. And he'll probably get hurt, but he runs. And he's a former number two pick who's 28 years old, who absolutely flashed the last couple times we saw him. Career YPA 7.5. Yes, Mariota. Yep, he's my sleeper.
I guess I can see it. We've seen a lot of Marcus Mariota. It's not like he didn't get a fair shake with Tennessee, right? Like, we've seen plenty of Mariota. It might happen. I think it would be a really fun story if it did happen. They obviously need a pair of receivers, however, in the worst way right now. So till that happens, it's really tough to pin down a Mariota rank. You're obviously counting on something particularly bullish there, which, hey, I respect. Anyway, I think I'm going to get a lot of Trevor Lawrence because there's a rushing element to his game. And like, it's not that I think his receiving core is outstanding necessarily, no matter how well it's paid, but it's better. And the difference in terms of coaching that he's going to receive from year one to year two is just it's going to be orders of magnitude better. It's
too bad he wasn't free to Balky, man. That would have been real nice. But yeah, ETN could be a huge help too. Such cheap yards there too. So yeah, I'm certainly not against Lawrence, but yeah.
Well, let me finally ask the big question, since we are ostensibly really talking about Tyreek Hill. What did you do in your ranks with Tyreek?
I moved him down from fifth-ish or fourth-ish to, where do I have him, at ninth now. So basically, it's tougher. I mean, it's 160 targets from Mahomes is just so nice. You got to ding him a bit. Tua and Bridgewater, new environment, just got paid. By the way, why this could happen more, and it's just kind of underrated, but the guy now gets to live in South Beach and there's no state income tax. I mean, not just with the huge money, but it's like, also it's surprising that Miami has not been a bit more of an attraction for free agents in the NFL like it is we've seen in the NBA and Orlando back in the day and whatnot, or at least maybe I'm forgetting some, but either way, boy, look, Mike McDaniel, he's going all in right away, and it's interesting. But I moved down Tyreek Hill five spots. What'd you do?
I could be totally wrong about this, and please don't ever take your tax advice from me. But I think it's super complicated if you're an athlete and you actually
play half your games are on the road, so you're
I don't think the state income tax thing is quite the same as if you were just like a rich dude who chose to make his money in Florida, right? I think it's a little more complicated.
That's fair. I think you're right, because half the time they're doing their job employed on another state. So I think you're right on that. But
these are not problems that I run into in my day to day life. I don't really have to sweat these things. But I think it is a little more complicated than that. I lowered Tyreek from five. I had him at four. I went Cup, Jefferson, Chase, and then I had Hill.
Exactly. That's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I dropped him to 12. Okay. I've got Jalen Waddle right now at clinging to 14, and that feels wrong. That feels like it might be too high because I feel like I'm not that bullish on Tua. I'm not so like I'm bullish enough to rank him as somebody that we're going to be drafting. I'm not so bullish that as I look at it now, I truly think that he can produce two top 14 fantasy receivers. Can that happen? Can that really, I'm asking you again, can that seriously happen?
I think it can if it's PPR, because Waddle just racks those up underneath. But I moved him to 16, so we're very close. Yeah, very close on those. But I hear you that it does maybe feel too high too, because now he has Tyreek Hill. So it's going to be interesting. It does suck if you had him in Dynasty. You're frustrated because I mean I was talking myself into in PPR late second, early third, he was going to get so many. But now obviously it's definitely going to ding him a bit. But yes, I think Tua can provide two top 15 receivers still. If especially if it's a PPR format. Where do you stand on that still? Are you still stringently against it?
I play anything that I'm invited to, right? I think it's a pretty silly PPR generally. I think it's a pretty silly setting. And the thing is, like, I've been playing long enough that I know why it's there. It's not like some latter-day invention, right? It is a scoring setting that we began to implement like, I don't know, two decades, 25 years ago, something like that, as basically a patch to the running back problem to elevate receivers relative to running backs, because the first round of every fantasy draft was nothing but running backs, and the second round was mostly running backs. But that I feel like the NFL itself has kind of corrected that, right? We have more committees now. Receivers are a vastly more important position than perhaps it was, you know, 20 years ago. So I feel like the NFL itself has corrected a problem that fantasy didn't need to really get involved with, right? I also just think that it sets up so many stupid equivalencies, right? Like a reception for no gain is the same fantasy value as a 10-yard run. That to me is just insane. But I'll get off the PPR soapbox. I'll play it because so many people play it, but I don't think it's smart. I don't think it's a better way to play. I think it's actually kind of a silly setting.
I always split the difference in my home leagues with a half PPR, but I've grown to like PPR the best. But you actually, I can't push back at your point you just made is an excellent one, that the NFL now, though, has gone so far that it is helping receivers too much. And getting the running backs are punished in both ways now,
yeah,
both in usage and scoring. So you are right. While the scoring format may or may not be the best, the NFL has changed to where it's affected it for sure.
I will say I wrote about this a couple of years ago. I like points per first down. That's a setting that we have available at Yahoo. At least a first down is a tangible, obviously beneficial real life play. Like a reception for its own sake doesn't have a reception's right. Value is entirely tied to the yards that are associated with it. Anyway, I'll get off that soapbox. Devontae Parker, he's got to go, right? He's just got to go.
Yeah. Oh, I buried him in my ranks. He's going to be traded. Yeah. He'll be traded. Yeah.
He could very well be Marcus Mariota's number one receiver by the next time you
Let's
and
go.
I are
Oh,
are
I love
talking.
It. Oh, man. Music to my ears. I love that.
Let me just give you a quick hypothetical here because, in fact, this isn't even reporting. I believe this is Tyreek Hill's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, saying this. Apparently, the Jets had the deal done for Tyreek Hill. And then Miami entered the discussion. Miami didn't get involved until it was basically done to the Jets. And so that thing was going to happen. How would you have been feeling about Zach Wilson today if his number one and number two receivers were Tyreek Hill and Elijah Moore?
Yeah, that would have certainly helped. But thankfully, it did not hurt my guy, Elijah Moore. I just want to draft in every league. So I'm still all in on that one. But yeah, that's funny. I think Tyreek Hill tweeted and said, I was always going to Miami. But that would have been quite interesting, too. Absolutely. Seeing Zach Wilson with those receivers. So yeah. But yeah, here we are in Miami. And
is Elijah Moore going to lead the league in targets, right?
Yeah, like, I hope. Oh,
look at that,
man.
Team.
Speaking
right
of
now,
music to my ears. Yeah, I would love it. Yeah, if he could stay healthy. Yeah, I know that would be sick. I would love to see that.
That might be, actually, probably in a couple months, we're going to have to write some kind of bold prediction column.
That's tough when Braxton Berrios is a teammate. That guy just soaks targets when he's on the field. That guy's a target machine. So
damn it,
that might
true.
Make it tough. But yeah, maybe both of them will get a 120 plus.
Let me, just before we get out of here, let me ask you, you mentioned earlier that you think this is the craziest offseason we've ever had. And I don't think there's just recency bias there. I mean, there's, you know, we've had off seasons where, you know, there's a crazy injury. There's some sort of crazy suspension looming. There's a holdout. There's trades. But we don't see this volume of trades involving this level of play. Like every week, there's something that has just sort of shaken the NFL like an Etch-a-Sketch and just rewritten everything, right? Like this is happening constantly. We had the Devontae Adams trade and you know, the staggering contract that he signed, the Russell Wilson trade, the Tyreek Hill trade, the Deshaun Watson trade, the Matt Ryan trade. We had the crazy Carson Wentz trade. Tom Brady, we mentioned it before, Brady retired, got scooped on his own retirement announcement, and then unretired a few weeks later. We still have, presumably, we have a Garoppolo deal that may yet happen. We have a Baker Mayfield deal that may yet happen. We have teams that don't really have plausible, viable starting quarterbacks right now. So there are still holes to fill. Maybe there's a Gardner Minshew deal out there somewhere. I don't know. This is the wildest offseason. Is it just going to be like this going forward? Is this just what it looks like?
Yeah, it's a year-round sport. Yeah, it feels like it is going to be more, even more of this. Other than Tom Brady screwing it up, the one theme here is this, the AFC getting better. I mean, you said it, but I'll just repeat. Devontae Adams, Russell Wilson, Tyreek Hill, Deshaun Watson went back there. Matt Ryan went over there, and Carson Wentz left there. So, I mean, you just go down the list, and the AFC is getting better and better, and the NFC is getting worse. But I don't mind that as a 49ers fan. But, yeah, Brady messed it up, and, of course, Aaron Rodgers returned. But, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo, who knows what's going to happen there. But the trade candidates are dwindling. It always seemed like the Colts, reportedly that shoulder surgery, just teams don't love the fact that he won't be able to, you know, like really learn the get into the offense. He can still learn the offense. I don't know. But that's definitely muddied up things in San Francisco, as even the local beat writers are now unsure of, you know, what exactly is going to happen when they were 100% confident that Jimmy would be traded, you know, 6 weeks ago.
I should also mention, I think we mentioned this at the top. Again, Stephon Diggs tweeted on Thursday. This is exactly what he said in the tweet. It's always business, never personal. That guy must want to get extended right now, right? Like that, I'd be thinking that way if I were Stephon Diggs. And Tyreek Hill just landed $30 million a year, and Devontae Adams just landed like $27 million a year or whatever it was. And I'm, you know, if I'm Stephon Diggs and I'm coming off just a couple of years ago, one of the great seasons in recent memory, and I'm 27, 28 years old. Yeah. I want some fresh money. I want to get paid like the leading receivers in the NFL. I don't know if Cooper Kupp feels the same way. I would, coming off the season that he's just had. It just seems like, and maybe this is partly Jacksonville giving Christian Kirk what they gave him, and maybe this is the you know, Devontae Adams certainly deserved to be paid at the top of the market. I have certainly no issue. I don't have any issue with what anybody gets paid, but it's a salary cap league and we have to think about these things. I don't know. Are there more dominoes to fall among the elite receivers?
It seems that, I mean, Watson was given the biggest guarantee ever. I think Hill was ranked as number two. So yeah, it feels like it's going to be more of this. The Stephon Diggs is great. Have you seen the video of when he was on the Vikings? They asked his teammates, which teammate would you least like to date your sister? And literally 25 teammates all just immediately answer Diggs. They all, if you haven't, check that out. It's a brilliant 3 minutes.
It's amazing.
And Diggs is an awesome receiver. And boy, Buffalo will do everything to keep him, because I know his fantasy numbers were slightly disappointing last year. But he's legit and in his prime. And these numbers are going to get astronomical. And the guys really coming up like Debo, the numbers are going to be huge.
Yeah, it seems like at this stage, after this offseason, it's almost an insult if you're not getting $20 million. It's a little bit of an insult if you're not getting 25, right? Yeah. Is Debo going to want to get like sort of the high end running back plus high end wide receiver money? I don't even know how to pay Debo.
Yeah, he could consider himself a hybrid running back too. But yeah. These numbers are going to get absolutely crazy. But what is numbers now? I mean, it's just the prices of everything right now. It's just crazy. But it's going to be hard to grasp these, because it's just so, it's jumping fast. And you know, it's always just whoever the last signed is going to set the next record, you know, with the biggest in history. So
okay, the last question I'm going to ask you before I let you go to Vegas. What is the, and I'm only thinking of this because we talked a little bit about Jimmy, talked a little bit about Trey Lance and the Niners generally. What do Niners fans want? Is there a split? Is it 50-50? Are there people that want Jimmy back and don't need to see Trey Lance next year? Is it overwhelmingly in favor of Trey? I would be in the Trey Lance camp, but I'm not a Niners diehard. What do the people want?
It's mostly overwhelmingly Trey Lance. Some could talk themselves into Jimmy's shoulder being the issue in the playoffs, but we've seen it, you know, two of the last 3 years, just they hit him throughout the postseason. It was ugly, ugly stuff. So no, everyone's ready. Trey Lance, and it's just the buzz on him is just like, I know no one cares about this in fantasy, but like, good dude. And everyone loves him in the locker room. And they're just so excited, but we'll see. You know how many starts Trey Lance had since 2019? How many football games he has started?
One?
Three. Started three football games in 2019. Do you know what year we're in, right? It's 2022, right? Yeah. He started three football games since then. So that's not a lot. So it's still a bit of an unknown, but he's the rushing upside's there. And he just has this, there's been some leaked footage in practice. He throws some cool looking Mahomes-esque passes, but who knows? Even Matt Mayako, one of the best local beat writers just said, man, honestly, inside the building, no one knows. No one knows what's going to happen and no one knows what they have. And what, but there's optimism, and John Lynch always likes to put on the optimistic face, but we'll see. I have a buddy who's an artist in New York. I believe you met once, and I commissioned him to do a painting for me, because I need a better background here than my Curb Your Enthusiasm mug always. And I had the first guy I had him do, of course I did a Barry Bonds, because I mean, of course, peaks himself, but the first other person I had him do was Trey Lance. And a couple of people point out to me, like, you know, that's kind of a risk, you know, what you're doing there. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm talking about, yeah, I guess it is a little bit of a risk. I might have just got another backup quarterback in the background for me for a whole nother year. Because, So anyway.
I mean, a risk would be the Trey Lance tattoo. A painting
yeah.
is the
Oh, yeah,
the
you're
sunk
right.
Cost,
you're right.
But...
Yeah, yeah. It's a sunk cost. Yeah, you're right. I've not gone that far with the tat, but I'm not too far off from there. Because if I haven't made it clear, I'm all in on Trey and ready to move on from Jimmy. Love him. Great, great dude. All speaking of a good dude also, during the pandemic, fans would send all kinds of letters. And supposedly Jimmy is one of the few that like send, get back and signed and stuff and personalized. But
it's good to hear.
But it's time to move on the player. It's time to move on. Let's see what Trey can do.
So we know you've got Dalton Schultz, tight end one, Travis Kelce, tight end two. Where's Kittle?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't love Kittle at fantasy at all. Always hurts. So I'm debating between 5 and 6 with Waller. Definitely Pitts ahead of him for sure. And then I have Andrews too. So I know Lance targeted his tight ends quite a bit in college in the red zone. But Kittle's always hurt in blocking. And those other guys have too much upside. I think the Niners are just going to run the ball just like crazy. So, I mean, there's Ayuk and Debo. Yeah. And I do not love Kittle in fantasy.
Hate to hear it.
I know you're a guy. I mean, hey, real life player. No, I mean, come on, such a good blocker, real life player. I mean, he's yeah. I mean, yeah. Come on, you gotta love. Yeah, I love Kittle. Don't get me wrong, but fantasy wise, I don't know. He plays so hard. He's like he's always hurt. Like even this year, he was like hiding an injury the entire year, or he would have been
out of
better fantasy.
One time, I know. Step out of bounds just one time.
Even this year, he was legit again hiding injury from like week two on that totally affected his separation. This calf thing. Like if he actually stayed healthy a whole year. And you gave him whatever, the same amount of targets as Kelce, he would, well, he already has the most. Did someone break it? Whatever. He would put up historical season for tight end. There's no question. It's just the situation and the durability.
All right. That's better. That's a note okay, I feel that, we can go out on, okay. on George Kittle. Right. That is going to do it for this episode. Dalton has to jet off to Vegas for some high stakes fantasy draft. Good luck with that, Dalton.
Wish
Del
me
Don.
Luck. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Good. Are you going, what, pitcher, batter, pitcher, like that?
Yep. You know it exactly. Yeah, number two pick. Yeah, I got, yeah. No, pitcher. Yep. A lot of yellow stickers will be up on that board. Yep.
All right. You can follow him at Dalton Del Don on Twitter. You can follow me at Andy Behrens. And please, while you're there, make sure that you're following at Yahoo Fantasy. Matt Harmon will be back with another just undoubtedly newsy episode on Tuesday. Man, Tuesday. How many crazy things are going to happen between now and Tuesday? It's wild. You'll forget all about this Tyreek Hill thing. Until then, we are out.